From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Douglas Ridge, a new 280-acre eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, committed to net-zero home design. More at douglasridge.com. And New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
Federal prosecutors have asked that a felony charge be dismissed against a Guatemalan man who Border Patrol agents picked up after hearing him and his family speaking Spanish at a Bangor Goodwill. In an affidavit supporting the felony charge, a Border Patrol agent described bringing in Mateo Carmelo Bartolo and members of the family, but didn't provide any reason for this other than that they were speaking Spanish and appeared to be of, quote, Central American origin. Carmelo Bartolo's attorney, Ronald Bourget, says in his view that's probably why the case was dropped.
This agent was seeing someone who appeared to be of a certain type, and that type being of Central American origin. That's racial profiling. It's not allowed under the U.S. law.
The U.S. Attorney's Office has declined comment, but in its motion for dismissal filed Friday at U.S. District Court in Bangor, it says pursuing the federal felony charge wasn't, quote, in the interest of justice. It does not give a reason beyond that for the dismissal of the case. There's one fewer Democrat running for the party's U.S. Senate nomination to run against Senator Susan Collins. In a statement, retired Air Force General John Tracy from Oxford said he couldn't raise enough money to compete effectively. And Maine Senator Angus King is urging national energy efficiency experts to focus more attention on the issue of consumer financing for home heating improvements. Mal Leary has more.
King and other members of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee say more consumers would buy more efficient heating systems, including heat pumps, if they could be easily financed at a low cost.
You hit the nail exactly on the head.
King questioned Daniel Brissett, executive director of the Environmental and Energy Study Institute.
Monthly payments are critical.
Could you say that again? I'd like that to be in the room.
Okay. Senator King, you hit the nail right on the head. Monthly payments is a huge thing. That's how people tend to, how individuals tend to think about what they can afford.
King says every kilowatt hour of electricity that is not used lowers the demand on the electricity distribution system, which is important in Maine where distribution costs are running higher than the cost of generating power. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And in weather tonight, we'll have heavy rain everywhere but the northwest, windy along the coast with lows in the high 30s to the low 50s. Tomorrow, rain ending from southwest to northeast starting in the morning. The CEO of the company that lost its contract with the state after an adult resident with intellectual disabilities died under its care says the Department of Health and Human Services is responsible. Residential and Community Support Services says it is considering suing the state. DHHS says it stands by its decision. And as Patty White reports, several former clients of the company say they were abused by staff and their complaints were ignored.
Christine Tiernan is the CEO of Biddeford-based Residential and Community Support Services, or RCSS, which cares for people with intellectual disabilities in homes throughout southern Maine. She says the client who died was Norman Fisher, who was diabetic and had been transported to one of her company's residences from a hospital.
We didn't have his insulin or the doctor's orders to give the insulin or the doctor's orders to test his blood sugar levels.
Tiernan says Fisher was under RCSS's care for just 72 hours and refused to go to the doctor. She says staff called the hospital and the state, quote, begging for assistance.
Finally, when we were like, can you please come here? They finally came and instead of assisting Mr. Fisher, began to berate the team at that home for 45 minutes.
It was during that time, Tiernan says, that Fisher lost consciousness and staff called an ambulance, but it was too late. She says staff members have cell phone footage of the incident.
I believe that DHHS is terminating its contract with us because we have digital evidence of their documented deficiencies.
Tiernan says she's appealing DHHS's decision to terminate its contract and is also considering filing a lawsuit. But a spokeswoman for DHHS, Jackie Farwell, says the department is confident in its decision. In a written statement, Farwell says the issues with RCSS extend beyond the resident's death and that the company, quote, repeatedly failed to ensure the well-being of residents and to correct deficiencies despite being given opportunities to improve. Former clients of RCSS say they both witnessed and experienced abuse while under the company's care. 32-year-old Samantha Severance says she lived in three different RCSS homes from 2016 till April of this year.
Verbal, physical, mental, a lot of assault that has happened between me and other people that were with the company. And I've been really concerned since I left because there are still people there that I care about.
Severin says she reported the abuse to CEO Christine Tiernan, to Adult Protective Services, local police, and DHHS. As she grew frustrated at the lack of response, she says she told one crisis worker,
"It's gonna take somebody to seriously get hurt or get killed for the Department of Health and Human Services to do something. And look where we are."
Severin says she left RCSS because of the abuse, as did her brother, 38-year-old Jeremy Gross. He says he lived in an RCSS home in Sanford from 2015 till last spring.
I have some bathroom issues, and staff would literally come in my room and be disrespectful towards me and call me a retard.
Josh Farelli-Nida says he lived at two different RCSS houses in Sanford for about a year and a half and also experienced verbal abuse.
And they call us hateful names and saying hateful names to your family and everything.
Farelli-Nida says he's in a different home now with a different company and is happy there. He's also happy that DHHS is taking decisive action against RCSS.
They finally believe in us now. It's kind of shocked they finally believe in us all this time.
But Christine Tiernan of Residential and Community Support Services disputes the allegations that she failed to take action to protect clients from abuse.
I have been made aware of situations of abuse, and I have evidence that those people were terminated as soon as I became aware.
As Tiernan considers her next steps, DHHS is continuing to find placement for about 60 residents who still remain with the company. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about juvenile justice in Maine. I'm Nora Flaherty.